Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. Not one of the most scintillating. Obviously, I'm biased. But in the three-minute opening, before we get in the market update here, in the three-minute opening, I was talking to our friends on KTTH, and just I kind of went off the rails, first 3 minutes of the radio show, because I started talking about Donald Trump going to Walter Reed, and you know, Godspeed, hope he's okay, don't wish, you know, regardless of what side we are on the political aisle, right, I think everybody can universally agree that we don't want to see people, even if we disagree with them. And I'm not saying I do or don't. I'm just saying, you know, we're on two distinct different radio stations, right? KTTH Cairo, very diverse radio crowd. And for that reason, we want to keep it on finance. I've heard people ask me before, and I'm getting a little off the rails here, but stay with me. Maybe that's what this will day, right? Maybe that's what today should be, Darren. It should just be the off the rails show, which would be fitting because we have the interview with Kevin Muir coming up, who I was saying earlier is one of my favorite guys to interview, but he's also fun, right? So it's off the rails day. Know Your Risk Radio has gone off the rails, right? But I've had people tell me, you know what, that's smart that you don't get into politics. And I kind of look at them crossways and they go, you don't want to turn anybody off. And I go, that's not why we do it. We don't do it because we take the same approach we do with politics on the radio that we do with our investment process. Meaning, is it something we consider and try to look at in an unbiased fashion from all sides? Yes. You know, I think you should analyze it. You should know what's going on. But one of the things Kevin and I talk about in our radio today is something I've, or in our interview today, is something that I've said many times on the show. And that is when you walk into the world of investing, and you may disagree with me, that's fine. In time, you may disagree with me now. In time, you will, through pain, find out that I am right. And I don't say that because I'm arrogant. I'm saying that because I'm experienced, right? I have had politics sway investment decisions, and it has never once been a good idea. So when you walk into the realm of finance, leave your political beliefs and your political ideals, leave them at the door. And sometimes that is really hard. Sometimes it's really hard. And I think the conversation that Kevin and I have does a really good job of illuminating that and just saying, listen, you need to be careful. Your bias does nothing but get you in trouble in investing, period. So, but, you know, getting back to this 2020, it's uncanny, right? I mean, it feels like if it can go wrong, it has. The world is upside down. You know, what was the line in Alice in Wonderland, right? It was, you know, I believe in so many impossible things before breakfast or something like that. I mean, this is a year that would make Alice in Wonderland, you know, shocked, set back, right? I mean, it just doesn't stop. Anyway, I just had to get, no real point to that, guys. Just sitting there going, holy smokes. The other thing too, expect anything. We were telling you, and again, not sticking my chest out at all, about 3 or 4 weeks on the show, we said, guys, get ready. About to see a bout of volatility. This market is so overjuiced. That's happened. And getting now into the market update. Again, I want to be very careful. And Darren, I'm going to come back to you on this one. You know the movie Gladiator, right? Gladiator, Russell Crowe, right? Do you remember that point? In the beginning of the movie where Marcus Aurelius is talking to Maximus and he says, Rome, it was so delicate. You couldn't even whisper for fear of it getting away. Right. But you remember that part? He's like, it was like a whisper. You just worried about it getting away. So I don't want to, I'm not spiking the football by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not spiking the football here. Okay. But value stocks, go look at the indexes today. NASDAQ was down 2.2%. IWM, which is the Russell 2000, small caps was up 0.7 with the NASDAQ down 2.2. But most impressively, VBR, or the Vanguard Value Index, VBR, yeah, it was up like 1.8% with the NASDAQ down 2.2. And we're seeing it in the value portfolio. Our Bed Bath & Beyond position that we picked up at, I think the price was $4.67, our initial purchase, and then we bought a little more at like $5.50 or $6. So our average cost was like $4.80 on the shares, something like that. It hit 20 today. We bought that back in March, and I'm not promising those kind of returns, guys. I'm also not cherry picking every stock we pick. Doesn't, unfortunately, does not go up 400% in a 3 month period of time. Hanes Brands, that's another one we picked up really cheap, paying a 4% dividend. Nice. It's popping. It's had a breakout recently of a long downtrend. We're seeing this all over the value complex, and it's fascinating to me. And it would make sense here, guys, because we've been really careful about value. I don't want to draft. I am okay, right? I am okay sitting on value for 2 or 3 years while we slightly underperform, waiting for that corner to turn. That's not what's happened, though. Value has been a house of pain. I mean, if you are primarily value investor focused, you're probably down 15 to 20%. Or value investing focused, you're probably down 15 or 20% on the year. You've probably outperformed by some ungodly number over the last 4 years. We've fared better than most, thank God. But watching this rotation, watching these stocks get bids in a fairly weak economy, right? A really weak economy is really interesting. And you start looking at these companies and looking at the balance sheets and look at some of these companies like Hanes. Go look at their revenues. They've been growing nice, like 7, 8% a year, throwing off a 4% dividend. And the valuation spreads have just gotten so large. And they've never been wider. We've said that a million times on the show. But watching finally flows going into value, it's fascinating to me. And I'm not prepared to say we're going to turn a corner, but I do think it is something that desperately needs to be considered, whether you're in a mutual fund portfolio, whether you're in an ETF portfolio, because if it is time for that rotation to start, which it should be, but if it is time, your mutual funds and your ETFs have you grotesquely out of position. You're going to be concentrated in all the most expensive sectors. You must pay attention to this. And guys, I'm not trying to be a sky is falling Chicken Little here. I'm trying to get your attention. Because of the historically wide spread between value and growth, and like I said, if you're an ETF or mutual fund investor, you're going to be over-concentrated in growth. It's just the way it is because they're competing against the index. Kevin and I talk about that in the interview. Okay, I'm diversified, Zach. I'm all ETFs. Nope. If you're all ETFs, you are going to be concentrated, especially if you're using the general index ETFs like the S&P 500. You are concentrated in tech. You are concentrated in growth about 3 or 4 times the traditional amount. Okay. And if that rotation is coming, you are going to get hammered. You're going to get hammered because those are the stocks leading the index. And you're grotesquely overweight, or excuse me, underweight value. Here's the other thing. I'm going to say a really unpopular thing right now. Energy is starting to look really attractive. It has for a while. But this recent downswing in all these energy stocks, the fact that you got the Cramers of the world calling them uninvestable, oil's going away, but just a bunch of nonsense. I've heard this kind of talk all my, in different sectors. Whenever you start hearing this kind of talk, it usually means that you've reached some type of bottom in sentiment. And that's really interesting to me because there's a lot of great, we picked up Chevron and ConocoPhillips. I think between the two of them, we're making 7.5-8% dividends. Strong companies. Good balance sheets, they'll be able to continue those dividend payments from what we can see. I mean, obviously, I can't see into the future, but I think that's fascinating. To me, as far as the market goes, to me, there's really nothing more fascinating this week. We continue to see gold kind of languish right around that 1900 level. Again, it's holding good. This is kind of what you'd expect to see after the big run up it's had. But right now, gold and the dollar are sort of simpatico, right? Dollar goes higher, gold's going to get hit right now. And then guys, as far as the rest of the market goes, there's only one thing that we really need to be watching is stimulus or no stimulus. Like I joked around on Twitter, I said, this is a no ticky, no laundry type scenario. And somebody goes, what are you talking about? And I'm like, well, there was a Seinfeld episode where they said no ticket, no laundry. And then Jack Nicholson repeated that in the movie The Departed. But what I mean by that is it's stimulus and markets go up and economy, quote unquote, recovers. If we don't get a stimulus bill passed, buckle up, baby. Jobs numbers came out disappointing again today. I'll continue to say completely ignore the unemployment rate. The number is so garbage. You're still above 14% unemployment on the U6, or just slightly below there. Anyway, you're 13-14% on the U6 jobs numbers. That number is meaningless. The unemployment numbers become meaningless. And I don't mean that is bad one way, good the other way. I'm just saying when it can be too high at times, it can be way too low at times like it is right now. And then after the election, I don't care who gets elected, you're going to see a boatload of stimulus. That's too far out to project what that's going to do. But I continue to say, it's not just us talking our book, guys. I continue to say the only way to navigate this is through a risk management model. You need to have exposure and momentum names like we do through our momentum algorithm, but every single position has a rolling stop loss in it that's being adjusted on an intraday basis. So when things hit the fan like they did in March, that account was down 7.5% as opposed to the market being down 35. That portfolio is currently up 5 or 6% on the year, smoking the S&P, which fits right into our line, right, guys? The easiest way to improve your long-term returns is do not get your teeth kicked in during the downswing. But right now, that's not what anybody wants to hear. And what I don't think that they're paying attention to, and again, Kevin and I get into this, I think the bubble stocks, I think a lot of these have seen their best day. I think a portion of that is over, right? You got the failure of Nikola. It hasn't failed, but the CEO resigned. That company still valued at $9 billion, which blows my mind. It's basically a fraud. They essentially admitted it. Not a fraud per se. Maybe they didn't break the rules, but very, very questionable, very, very suspicious. You guys know my thoughts on Tesla. Outside of that, not a lot of movements. I mean, right now, and Chase Taylor said it best, you got to watch Congress. That's the deal. Rates have been all over the place. Rates took a bit of a nosedive here midweek, went from like 6.7 on the 10-year, 0.67 down to like 0.64. Doesn't sound like a big move, but remember that's percentage-wise, that's a pretty big dip for a year, or excuse me, for a week, because rates are so compressed. So we've got to be thinking about it a little bit differently. But anyway, this is why we need a risk management strategy. You also need value, guys. And if you're in mutual funds, like I said, or mutual funds or ETFs, you've got almost nothing. Remember I was telling you, I think it's that energy is getting really attractive here. Energy right now, I think, makes up 2% of the S&P 500 weight of market value. That's how big it's dropped. It's one of 11 sectors and it makes up 2% of the weight. I mean, even if it doesn't get back to its historical range, you could be looking at a double or triple on energy stocks over the next several years. Or maybe even sooner than that. And you're like, oh, nobody wants to touch it. It's uninvestable. Guys, that's value investing, right? Oil ain't going away. We still need it. We still need it to make electric cars, okay? Natural gas ain't going away. Still need it to heat homes. It's actually really clean, too, comparatively speaking. But you need a risk management strategy. You need to be able to go up with the market if it continues to go up. And then the other thing, and I'm going to talk about this in the next segment, it'll be an extension of the market update, but we're going to talk about bonds again, because Kevin Muir, we get into it on bonds. He brings it up, but anyway, we'll hit on that when we come back. So guys, if you want a risk management strategy, how are we up on the year and yet our average account was only down 5% in the month of March? How are we lowering people's fees? How are we drastically reducing the risk of their portfolio? And how are we significantly increasing the upside participation in market gains, the upside, ability for their accounts to make money? How are we doing that? Give us a call. Invest 3 minutes for the rest of your financial future. To get our Common Sense Investment Booklet, you can go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, knowyourriskradio.com. You can follow me at Twitter at KYRradio. You guys know the drill. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for sticking with us. And let's get right into finishing the market update. That's kind of it for the update. But I wanted to get into this next discussion about bonds. And this is why I'd like you to listen to the interview with Kevin. Because Kevin and I did not discuss anything. If you guys ever hear us do a show where the guy is parroting what I said, just know that we do not do any type of rehearsal. I don't show any of our guests any notes. We don't, you know, every once in a while, a guest will ask what we want to discuss, and I'll give them just a brief outline. And we do that for a couple reasons. Usually I'm booking these appointments 2 to 3 weeks out, right? These engagements, 2 to 3 weeks out to have a guy on the show. And I don't know what's going to, you know, especially in 2020, right? In three weeks' time, the world can look substantially different. So there's that aspect. The other aspect of it is that, and I'm not sure what it sounds like to listeners, but I think it generates a much better interview when you have notes and you've got guidelines of things you want to discuss, but it's unrehearsed. I want to hear what their organic thoughts are coming out of the top of their head. I want to know what their initial gut read on something is. I don't want them to give me a canned response. I don't want them to give you a canned response. I want candor, right? But we got into the discussion about stock valuations and how nuts they are and all that kind of stuff. And Kevin brought up, you know, his kicker. Now, remember, this guy has been an institutional trader at several big wire or big investment banks up in Canada. I think he worked at, was it Royal Dominion Bank, something, or Toronto Dominion Bank? No, that's TD Ameritrade. One of the big banks up in investment banks up in Canada. Extraordinarily experienced guy, very savvy, successful investor. And he said, you know, Zach, what are you going to do? He goes, you know, yeah, stocks are, you know, overpriced, but he goes, you know, it's a certain kind of stock. There's plenty of value out there. And he goes, and bonds. He goes, bonds are the worst investment on the planet. And I laughed when he said it because I can't pound the table on this hard enough. It continues to blow my doors off every single week when I talk to more and more listeners about their portfolios and we go through them and I keep seeing this allocation to bonds. And I think I mentioned this on the show last week. We had a client come in, sweet lady. She knew there was a problem and she diagnosed it correctly. She goes, Zach, I was listening to your show and it confirmed what I thought. She goes, these bonds are trash. And she goes, I also know that bonds really sharp. She goes, I know bonds lose money when interest rates go up. And I'm sitting there wondering what in the heck I'm doing with all these things. She had 65% of her portfolio in bonds. 65%. Now check this out. In 2019, when the market was up 30%, she said that account of hers was up about 7.5 or 8. Okay, 65% bonds, 35% stocks. Now, here's why it's so criminal. In 2020, the year where the market was up, 30 on the nose, 30.2, something like that. Maybe it was like 29.9. Anyway, 30%. Our 50-50 portfolio. So she only had a little bit more exposure. She's 65% stocks, 35% bonds. She actually has less risk exposure with us because even though she's got more equities, 15%, you know, of the portfolio more in equities, the bond portion of her portfolio still carries loss and it got hit during the downturn. Our bond replacement strategy is insured against loss. So her 65-35 bond stock portfolio in 2019, when the market's up 30, she was up about 8. Our 50-50 portfolio using the algorithm. So we didn't have the algorithm last year, but it was around, right? So the portfolios composed the way they are today, on average, were up. The 50-50 was up like 19 or 20 net of fees. And you actually had less risk exposure. A 12% outperformance in a single year, paying less in fees and making more money with substantially less risk. It just doesn't make sense. And if you don't believe me, listen to what Kevin says. He's an investment banker. He's a professional trader and analyst and runs a fund. He doesn't have a dog in the fight. He's not trying to sell a bond replacement strategy. It's the biggest no-brainer. The other thing we showed a client the other day, he was a little frustrated with his annuity performance, the fixed indexed annuity that we use with no fees, no caps, that we use as a bond replacement strategy. And we looked at the last 5 years, and that bond replacement strategy that we had him in, he was up something like, he averaged like 5.1% a year or something like that. And he's up like 25% or something, 26%, because he was about 5.1, so compounded. I think he's 25-27%, somewhere in there. And he's like, yeah, but the market did this much. And I go, well, why are you talking about what the market did? And he goes, well, that's how you judge. And I go, no, we got to judge it against bonds. So I pulled up PIMCO Total Return. And I have the utmost respect for the people at PIMCO. I think they're the best bond managers out there. They manage bonds. That's what they do. It's not their fault, right? I'm not calling them. But they are the best at it. They have less drawdowns. They typically yield more. But net of fees, had you owned the PIMCO Total Return, which is one of the best managed bond funds in the world, had you owned PIMCO Total Return over those 5 years when my client in his risk-free, no-fee, insured-against-loss bond replacement strategy was up better than 25%, net of fees, he would have netted at about 7.5% over the same period, over the same 5 years being in PIMCO Total Return. I mean, I don't know what else to say. If you're still sitting in a bond portfolio, for God's sakes, guys, pick up the phone. Maybe you're like, I love my stock guy. Okay, get rid of your bloody bonds. They're killing you. And people are like, man, Zach, you hammer on this all the time. You know, you talk about it too much. I talk about it because for most of you, it makes up 40 to 50% of your total investable assets. And at best, it's dead money. At best. And then, you know, the Fed's sitting there talking about trying to generate inflation. What happens when inflation kicks in? Interest rates are going to go up. You think that getting a low return on your bonds is a problem? Wait till you start losing 10, 12, 14% a year in your bond portfolio that's not even paying you one third of that in interest. To me, it's like a retirement crisis. And this is the safeguard in your portfolio that just lost 15 or 20% during the swoon in March. You gotta wake up, people. Listen to what I'm saying. Go read the Morgan Stanley 60-40 portfolio, right? I've talked about this on the show. You guys, it's the rest of your life. Invest the 3 to 5 minutes to call us to look up the Morgan Stanley deal. Call us and get the Roger Ibbotson research paper on how our bond replacement strategy is so much better than bonds over the next 20 years. An impartial guy, 19-page research paper released from a godfather of finance who's a professor of finance at Yale and runs a billion-dollar hedge fund and worked for Milton Friedman, University of Chicago. Not exactly a lightweight. Man, people got to wake up out there. And the other thing, I know it's fun watching the market go up, but we're at a sea change moment here. And most of you are horrifically out of position. And if you want to know if you are, if you want to know what to do, if you want to know how to lower your fees and drastically increase your upside and make sure that you're good no matter what happens, which, guys, you get one retirement, right? One. Not five. You get one. And if you want to add some certainty to that, call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Ask for our Common Sense Investment booklet that goes over our bond replacement strategy. Ask for the Roger Ibbotson white paper. Ask for the Morgan Stanley 60-40 portfolio, why it's doomed, according to them. You guys know how to do it. You know the deal. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and 770 KTTH.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors and host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo every Saturday morning at 8. A lot of us work hard, save, and hope to enjoy our retirement years. But have you ever considered what would happen if your health is compromised to a point where you need help from others? It's called long-term care. And statistically, it's going to happen to nearly 3 out of 4 of us. And the problem is, long-term care situations can undo the best retirement plans, wiping out your savings, and even putting a physical and emotional burden on the people you care about most, your family. Having a long-term care plan provides a dedicated, tax-free source of funds to pay for your care, and more importantly, it provides a team of professionals to manage your ongoing care needs so your family doesn't have to. And the good news is, we have more planning options than ever, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. Learn more at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. Anyway, let's get into first of all, Megs, if you're out there, had a great time meeting you for lunch yesterday. Met my cousin, Megan, for lunch. Little cousin, she's 21. Beautiful, talented girl. And met her for lunch and we're talking. And she said, you know, I really want to get into stocks. A bunch of my friends are really into stocks and they're really making money. And you guys would laugh. People listen to the show. We sat there in the middle of the restaurant on Friday afternoon and I'm breaking down my whole valuation thing to her, right? And if you've heard the show before, you've heard me talk about the corner store for sale and how we need to look at stocks like businesses. But I was breaking this down for her and she's really smart and she grabbed onto it really quick. But the interesting thing to me is what she said was that all my friends are in it. Guys, these are things you do not hear at market bottoms, okay? And Meg's, no discouragement toward you. So she's not in there day trading. She was just asking me. She goes, it seems really interesting and it seems like I can make money. And you can. But what happens in these times, guys, is everybody gets disillusioned. Everybody gets caught up, right? And they get caught up focusing on the performance. And what they don't even realize is they're caught up focusing on what's already happened, right? And they want to buy the thing that's gone up. Right? They want to buy Teslas after it's up 450% in a 5 month period of time, 4 month period of time, whatever it is. And what inevitably happens is when you get these stock manias like we currently have, all the things they should be buying continue to go down because no flows are going into them. Nobody's buying it. And all the things that are ridiculous, the things that are going to get pounded, the things that are going to get just beat up and destroyed. And the companies will last. It's just the valuations have gotten nonsensical. And what everybody ends up doing is grouping on one side of the boat. And that's the other interesting thing about the conversation we have with Kevin. And it's something that I missed. We picked up a couple things there in the March swoon, but we didn't buy nearly as much as we should have. And it was something that I wasn't paying attention to. I mean, I was, but I didn't really, I was focused more on the economic side of it and valuations and things of that nature. But Kevin goes on in the interview to discuss the fact that one of the things that tipped him off to go in there and buy hard and aggressively in March was that the sentiment was so bad. People that were previously, just months before, chasing all these high flyers, you know, he said he was talking to tons of people, especially in retail, that were calling him friends, family, saying, how do we buy puts? We've sold all our stocks. This thing's going to zero. How do we buy puts? And Kevin was like, the sentiment is so bad. Everybody sold. So what's going to happen? Markets are going to go up and the Fed's going to print and the government's going to print and there's going to be a sea of liquidity, right? Well, that same dynamic works on the other side. The same dynamic works on the other side. Everybody can get on the long side of the ship, right? And when that happens, how did we know 3 weeks ago there'd be a market pullback? Because all the sentiment indicators were off the charts. Volatility was rising. You had all the signs. Did we know for sure? No, you never know for sure in this game. But when you see these setups, you go, uh-oh. And then you start seeing anomalies like we saw today, where the VBR index, the value-based index for Vanguard, the Vanguard Value Index, small cap value, I believe, was up like 1.7, 1.8% on a day where the NASDAQ was down 2.2. Guys, I've been managing money my entire professional career and certainly throughout this cycle. I do not remember a single time in the last decade where you had a day where small cap value was up that much and the NASDAQ was getting hit that hard. It doesn't say that the change has happened, but this is one of the markers, right? This is one of the markers that says this rotation could be happening. And at some point, the valuations on these in a 0% interest rate world, they've gotten so cheap. And they're good companies. They're good companies. They're growing companies. They're profitable companies. They're just not in style. And the valuation spread, that's what Kevin and I talk about, is that the valuation spread between the high flyers and solid companies that just nobody's interested in, it's never been more extreme. And that's why I think that this rotation we're seeing at this moment. Now, could it be fleeting? It sure could. But we've even started to buy more of these stocks just because you're looking at the world, you're looking at these companies, these value companies. Some of them we bought this year during coronavirus, everything, their revenues are down, like one stock in particular. I don't want to say it because I don't want to give it an endorsement, but their revenues are down 9%. And every year prior for the last 5 years, they've been growing revenues at 7-8% a year. And you have the worst economic crisis in a single year in American history, and their revenues are down 9%? And already climbing back? And they're paying a 4% dividend with a clean balance sheet? I mean, are you kidding me? In a 0% interest rate world? The other interesting thing, guys, if we put on our technical analysis hat, a lot of these value names have broken out. Go pull out a long-term chart of Bed Bath & Beyond, which has long been a favorite of ours. I am not suggesting you own it. Do not buy it because we own it. I may not own it in a week, and you wouldn't know that, okay? The other thing is that my attitude about investing it at this price would be substantially different because our average cost on it's about $5.50 a share. Okay, so it's not a recommendation. But what I mean by that is if you pull up a chart of Bed Bath & Beyond and you look at it over the last 5 years, you will see a very formulaic and steady march down. That is a clearly defined downtrend. And then all of the sudden, whoop, It broke it. And that downtrend has been in place literally since about 2014. And all of a sudden it broke through in pretty convincing fashion. That's interesting. I got another stock. I mentioned Hanes Brands. Again, not a recommendation. Pull that one up, right? Now, again, these aren't recommendations, okay? But pull it up. Similar downtrend, right? It peaked out right at the end of 2014, early 2015, very clearly defined downtrend, and all of a sudden recently, pop, there it is, breaking that line. You go look at it, it's trading at a 10 PE ratio and paying out a 4% dividend. I'm just telling you guys, most of you are horrifically underexposed and you need value. You need it. And it's been the worst. It's been the house of pain for so long. Truthfully, you need both. And that's why I love our setup. Am I partial to it? Yes, it's ours. But it's ours because that's what we determined we wanted. Right? It's not like we did this and then we're sitting there trying to justify it after the fact and convince you it's great. The reason we've built our portfolios this way is we need to be able to hold value. At the same time, if this constant bloodletting and value keeps going, we can't have our clients drastically underperform. So we added the Momentum portfolio to it. And they've been a perfect complement. And the Momentum portfolio allows us to be in these momentum-driven names with that constant protection underneath it, which is why it was only down 7.5% in March when the market was off 36. But you can have both. And you can own the Momentum names in the event that we're wrong, right? And it keeps going up. You win either way. And then we replace the bonds with the bond replacement strategy. We lower your fees, drastically reduce your risk. Guys, I've said it a million times and I'll say it a million again. There's a better way to do this. There is a better way to do this. Way less risk, way less cost, and more upside. And it's just that simple. It's just that simple. And if that interests you, which it should, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Ask for the Roger Ibbotson research paper. Google Morgan Stanley 60/40 portfolio. You guys know the drill. Follow me at KYR Radio. And also, as a reminder, we got the interview coming up in the next segment. We got to cut it off due to time, like we always do. But listen to Kevin, listen to one of the true technicians, a true market guy with no ego, just all about the work, and a funny, great guy too. But listen to that interview, and to hear the rest of it, all you got to do is get on the podcast. Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Just Google that. 20 different podcast engines will pop up. We're on all of them. You can go to mynorthwest.com, find us there. Easiest way, again, though, just Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast. We're on Apple iTunes. We're on Stitcher, Podbean, you name it. Easy to find. And then you can just subscribe and they'll send you all the shows and the interviews right to your inbox. You can listen to them on the podcast whenever you want to. So anyway, we got to take a quick break, but stick with us. We're coming right back with our interview with Kevin Muir. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Tory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60/40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, they'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline, and man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, this is my favorite time of the show and interview time. And we got a blast from the past here. We got a special guest, one of our first guests, and we haven't had him on for a while, and I don't know why. Probably because he's a busy guy. But anyway, I wanted to welcome Kevin Muir back to the show. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us, and it's great to have you back on the program, man.
It's great to be with you again, Zach.
Well, you're too kind. And just so we know, I don't want to forget, but I strongly suggest following Kevin's Twitter feed at the Macro Tourist, correct?
Oh, no, actually, it's at Kevin Muir.
Oh, that's right. Excuse me.
Yeah, yes. So at the Macro Tourist is actually my private feed for my letter, which I have. It's at themacrotourist.substack.com.
Okay. And another guy, and you know what, Kev? I just realized something because I went and when I was doing show prep for our interview, I went to the Macro Tourist website to see what I'd missed lately, and I realized that I have not subscribed. And I mean that earnestly. I went, how did I miss that? And A, what am I doing? And the reason I say that is because Kevin has got you're really good, man, at addressing all of the big macro themes and really breaking it down in a way that I think anybody can understand, and also mixing it in and making it humorous and making it interesting. It's an easy read, even if you're not, you know, a macro nut. And so I strongly suggest people going to the Macro Tourist blog, or they can find it at themacrotourist.com, correct?
Well, it's actually themacrotourist.substack.com. They unfortunately don't give it to me. But listen, that's very kind of you to say, Zach. And for anyone who wants to have a couple of samples, letters fired their way, just send me an email, kevin@themacrotourist.com, and I'll be happy to send you some samples.
Yeah, it's fantastic stuff. The other thing I miss, too, is the pictures. The pictures you get to go with your themes always crack me up. You and Rudy Havenstein remind me of that just because you guys come up with the best – you know, the best little, what do you call them now? They're not GIFs, but memes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Zach, I don't know if this is the most politically correct thing to say, but I'm known as the playboy of financial newsletter writers. Everyone says they're subscribing for the articles, but we all know they're just looking at the pictures.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great analogy, man. Well, hey, so, Kev, a little's happened since the last time we've had you on the show, man. Yeah. And I want to start out by saying I'm referring to this as my apology tour. Now, I don't owe you an apology because we didn't get in a back and forth about it. But one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is you were another voice in my ear right around March 23rd, March 24th. I've actually got a DM from you that I was looking at this morning that said, listen, I know it seems crazy, but buy high quality names. This thing is going a lot higher. So before we go on, I want to dig into what your thought process was at that point in time, just as a learning opportunity, because I, you know, we picked up a couple things, but we did not buy that dip nearly as hard as we should have. You know, there's extenuating circumstances. We did really well in the downturn. And so, you know, we were down 9.5 when the market was down 36. So that's part of it, right? I didn't take much of a pounding, but I think about this year, and had I listened to you, it would have gone from an okay year to a fantastic year. If we could start there and you could walk us through your thought process, you know, what you saw at the time. And, again, you were one of those guys that was pounding the table pretty hard. There was a lot of conviction there. What did you see, and kind of walk us through that trade and how you came to that conclusion at that time, if you could.
Well, sentiment was just so bad, Zach. Mm-hmm. It was, I gave the example of, I have this cottage that I have a cottage, kind of handyman, and he called me up and he wanted to know how he was going to go and buy puts because the world was ending and this virus was going to stop the world economy. And it was the equivalent of the shoeshine boy. And he's a very nice guy, and I don't begrudge him, but the reality is that he doesn't do this for a living. And when you got to that level where people were selling all their stocks and wanting to take those proceeds and buy puts, it just hit a point where it was, you know, that famous line about the about John F. Kennedy, and there was a trader on the floor that was buying stocks on the weekend before the Cuban Missile Crisis. And he said, the reality is that, you know what, if there's a Cuban Missile Crisis and there's a nuclear war, it's not going to matter if we're around or not. And so therefore we should just buy stocks, because it's, if you're right, you know, the world's going to end. And if you're wrong, you know, the stock market goes a lot higher. I just felt that it was so washed out. And then the other important part that I believe that too many people miss, and this is a complicated, almost philosophical issue, is the fact that they all assume that the government, the sovereign, is a currency user just like anyone else, and the debt is something that they have limits on. They believe that they have a financial constraints. And I've long argued that the government is much different, rightly or wrongly, they are just different. And what I foresaw was, I said, the government will do whatever it takes to fix this. Mm-hmm. And I started talking about the wall of buying that you were going to see out of the Fed. And one of the things, though, Zach, I'll tell you, I was bullish. I thought that the Fed was going to do a lot of stuff. They made me blush. Like, that's how much, like, I was getting emails from, like, you can sign up to get all the purchases they do every day. And I would get this email every day, and it would be like all the list of the different bond issues they buy. And it would be like 400 million of the January 5s of 2042. And it would be 300 million of this. And it was just going, and you just looked at these numbers and you just said, this is what they bought today? And you realize the wall of money that they were throwing at this was just obscene. And I think that was what the bears were missing, was they did not understand that the amount of blue tickets that was at that Federal Reserve New York branch, and how much they were going to buy. And then eventually that was going to manifest itself with higher risk assets across the board.
Yeah, the old sea of money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one that I think the ones that shocked me the most were the 600 a month on the unemployment, and then dipping into corporates.
That was a sea change. They've never done that.
What is your, Kev? That's kind of a segue into that. I wanted to ask you, because again, I haven't been able to speak to you about this, but where are you at on that? I'm of the belief, and feel free to disagree, I'm of the belief that, I think to say that they didn't violate the Federal Reserve Act in that action, to me, is just purely semantics. You may disagree, but that – and it's funny, Kev, because I think you and I have talked about it before. And I think we've said – and I'm not the only guy that said it. Other people have. But just saying, when you looked at the Fed Resolve, it would not surprise me if they'd have bought corporates at some point. Yet watching them actually pull that trigger was – And again, I don't know why I was so surprised. You and I have spoke about it on other interviews that they're all in. There's nothing they won't do. But watching that happen just blew my doors off. Where are you on that? Do you think they violated the Federal Reserve Act? And the other part of that question is, once I saw them do that, I sat back and kind of thought, okay, if they need to, they'll buy stocks. Why stop at corporates? And I'm not saying they're going to, or they're going to do it immediately, but if they need to at some point, I kind of think that, in my opinion, I think we broke through that imaginary wall that there's nothing they won't do. Where are you at on that whole scenario?
So, first of all, I'm not sure if they broke the law or not, but the point is that law is a self-imposed restraint. And that is always the point that I get, to people when they start telling me they can't do that. They can't do that. And I go, well, why? We as a society have decided that they're not allowed to do that. But, we could change the rules. And maybe if they needed to, they would have changed the rules. So why do you want to be short or assume that this is going to – we're going to be bound by things that are self-imposed? So to me, whether it broke the law or not doesn't really matter. The reality was that they were going to do it, and they were going to do whatever it takes to do it. Now, I do think that stocks are a different ball of wax. I think it'll be a long time before the Federal Reserve actually buys stocks. And I know a lot of the kind of grumpy bears out there will talk about it and say, oh, no, this is going to happen anytime, next time. I don't know. To me, bonds.
All right, guys. Unfortunately, we got to cut it short right there due to time constraints. But as always, you can hear the rest of this interview, which I strongly suggest. Kevin is a brilliant tactician. He's a pro trader, knows what he's doing, savvy investor. All you got to do to hear the rest of it is just Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast. You do it on your phone. A bunch of different podcast sites pop up. You click on the button, boom, there's us. You hit play and it's that easy. Bob's your uncle. No problem. And then you can also subscribe so you get shows and interviews sent to your inbox every single week. Anyway, we got to run. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week. Got another phenomenal guest lined up for an interview next week. You don't want to miss it. In the meantime, have a wonderful weekend. Have a great rest of the week. Well, have a great week coming up, and go Hawks. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.